Here in the studio, this hour we'll be talking about the fourth edition of Love Is, which is a concert, a yearly concert spearheaded by the director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus, Chris Ludva, who is here with me this morning in person to join me this morning and preview this concert. It's at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and we'll talk about all parts of this concert. But Chris, just to get us started, why don't you just introduce a piece of music and we'll feel the love from there.
We'll start with a fantastic representation of mid-century choral music from America. Randall Thompson, fantastic composer, worked for the Boston Symphony, and this piece was written to honor Sergei Kuzivitsky in 1949. It's based on a text from 2 Samuel, and it's called The Last Words of David.
Let's hear it, and we'll be back with Chris Ludva. We're starting off this morning's music with music of Randall Thompson, the American composer, a piece that will be highlighted Sunday in a 4 o'clock concert featuring the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus. It's the fourth annual Love Is concert. And with me in the studio, the director, Chris Ludva. I'm glad you picked that piece to start us off with. It's a grounding piece. In what way is it a message of love?
Well, it's interesting because it's based on 2 Samuel and the story of King David. David being the same one that, you know, in the song, the Leonard Cohen song, Hallelujah, oh. You know, David played the chord and it pleased the Lord, and David and Goliath fame. And so he was chosen to be, or appointed to be king. And the piece is, I think it's a beautiful piece because it represents both a very American idea of composition, which Randall Thompson represented. Leonard Bernstein studied with him, and so he was really kind of a rock of compositional style at that time. But also this idea of, you know, that those that rule, those that are in authority, be it kings or politicians or those of us in leadership positions, have a responsibility to do what is right and what is just. And so we felt like it was timely, but it also ends with this beautiful, serene Alleluia that really harkens us back to Thompson's Alleluia, which he wrote as well for the Tanglewood Chorus. And so it just felt like a really great standard choral literature to start things off.
Does this mid-century choral writing resound with you in the sense that you might have grown up with getting familiar with some of these pieces?
I grew up with Barry Manilow, so I grew up more with like adult contemporary 1980s and didn't come to this stuff until later. I think what resonates with me is that the changing ideas of democracy and how I think much more, though we have long way to go, miles to go before we sleep, right? That this idea of democracy is evolving and changing, and I think we're coming to terms with some of the ways that has presented itself. And yet the text of one that ruleth over all must be just is still one that is truthful. In fact, we had a really interesting debate with the singers. This one was recorded virtually by singers at home. Other pieces on the concert were recorded at First Presbyterian. This one being one at home, we had a a Zoom debate about whether or not we should use the words, "He that ruleth over men must be just," which was the original text.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we ended up going back and forth for probably a good 20 or 30 minutes about it and ended up singing, "One that ruleth over all must be just," to try to make the language more inclusive. But it was really, it was a great example of the fact that, yes, we can still disagree about things and come to an end that everybody felt good with, and know that there is universalism in these truths. And even if we change the way that we say it for perhaps a more woke time or whatever it might be, that the sentiment is still the same, which is, you know, we have to do the right thing. We have to be good humans.
This concert is one where you don't have to leave your home to experience and enjoy. Do not put on your Wellingtons to head out.
You can even leave your pants off. We don't care. It's fine.
It's accessible on Sunday at 4 o'clock, and the details are right now at KalamazooBachFestival.org. And we need to keep looking into the colors of love for our fellow humans, it sounds, in this opening piece that we're discussing. What are some of the other aspects that you wanted to bring in?
We definitely explore all the different ways that love presents itself in this concert, and have for the last 4 years, that it could be spiritual love. We really try to emphasize at some point love for oneself, because we feel like that is where things emanate. Emphasis of love for community. So, of course, romantic love, and we'll get to that with a little Unchained Melody and some Righteous Brothers at some point. But just so many different ways that love presents itself, familial, in heterosexual and homosexual ways, in sacred ways and secular ways. It's just such a beautiful universal concept. And it, as a director, it gives us lots of opportunity to
explore
any kind of genre we want, which is always fun.
Yeah. Well, if it's almost too broad, then you do still have to work on narrowing the pieces out. And what other ways did you think about doing that with structuring with solos? And you said there were pieces recorded in person at First Presbyterian and others that were accomplished with each individual in their homes performing their part. So it's a combination.
It's a lot to sort of, you know, wrap your head around. And it's kind of fun to see it now start to come together on the screen in a way that both you see people at home, but then you also see us, as you said, together in an experience that was really, for those of us that are live musicians, and those of us, I think, that are in the audience too, it is really, as Kim Dunn-Adams said a couple weeks ago when you had her on, there's such a catharsis of being together again when we are. It's so rare. And this ensemble had not sung together since we recorded the Holiday album, the Holiday recording, back in October.
Mm-hmm.
And they came together one night at First Presbyterian downtown a few weeks ago. They had all learned their parts and recorded them individually, so we knew that they were on their game. And then we got together. It was 1 hour per piece. You know, we rehearsed for maybe 10 minutes and then recorded it. And, you know, in a normal circumstance, we would rehearse for months and then record something. But
right.
It just really goes to show how much commitment I think people have to the music, to the ideas, to the organization, and just to being together. So I'd love to go to a different piece if you're cool with that.
I was just going to suggest let's hear another one.
This is another one that the poem is written by James Agee. It was a 1934 poem, and it's called "Sure on This Shining Night." It was set, of course, by Barber, and then was set by Morton Lauridsen, who is one of the more popular choral composers of our time. And it was a commission by ACDA, American Choral Directors Association. And it is a gorgeous text about looking forward to a better time. And we did this one in person at First Pres with Pierre van der Vesthuizen on piano. So it was a real joy. This is "Sure on This Shining Night" by Morton Lauridsen.
And we're not hearing a preview of the actual recording here. We're referencing another university choral.
Exactly. This one, I think, was the University of Utah.
Okay. If you just tuned in during the music, we're listening to a choral piece arranged by Morten Lauridsen from a song by Samuel Barber with lyrics by, I think, his friend, James Agee, definitely his contemporary. And here in the studio with me is the director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus, Chris Lidva. The concert is coming to you Sunday at 4 o'clock on your home screens. Details are at KalamazooBachFestival.org. And there are a number of ways to purchase tickets. There's a few different options, and it looks very easy with the click of a button to access the concert. And you've already had this experience with the holiday concert, Chris.
Such a wonderful... It was a joy, and I think maybe a silver lining to this time that many of us are seeing is that even though we missed the in-person concert experience, the chance to see something online allows loved ones and family
right
across the world to see the program. And we had people tune in from as far as California, some in London in the fall, and so we expect the same kind of thing. It broadens the number of folks that can access the music. And we've chosen, like many organizations, to do a pay what you can kind of situation this year. So we have different increments of options for tickets, but it's really about find the one that works for you. And it's really been a nice way to recognize that people are in different financial spots this year in particular. And yet to not have that be an impediment to them hearing the music.
Samuel Barber sure knew how to write for the voice, especially. I know some of his earliest works are songs, so it's wonderful that you honor him this way. And the song title, Sure on This Shining Night, is this a song about hope? Or?
Yeah, definitely about hope. High summer holds the earth, and there's one line that the choir sings that I think you could see tears behind the masks, you know, of all is whole, all is health, and this idea of somehow getting at some point beyond this pandemic and a return to being whole, I guess, for lack of a better term. So it's a beautiful piece and so fun to see the choir sing it in a live venue. So.
One of the pieces you sent along to preview this concert is another piece by Samuel Barber, and I looked at it and I thought the Pas de Deux from Souvenirs. Now, that is a piano piece. I just can't imagine that being sung. So,
maybe the Swingle singers probably could have done it, but I think it's best to be played by piano.
And okay.
We're fortunate in this town to have two fantastic pianists in Pierre and Sophie von der Vesthuizen from the Gilmore, and it was a joy to have them as collaborators on this. So, as I mentioned, Pierre played on that last piece when we recorded it, and you'll hear that on the performance. But then we talked to Pierre and Sophie about could they play a couple of duets for the program, just them in their house. And so they did the Barber piece, and then they also did handle the entrance of Sheba from the opera Solomon. And so it's a very majestic piece. This one we chose on purpose because we had a longtime supporter and longtime arts community person, Mary Beth Birch, who passed away last year. And she was a harpsichordist. She played as harpsichord for the Bach Festival for years. She was well known in chamber music in Kalamazoo. And so this was a nice way, by using Pierre and Sophie, to feature something that honored Mary Beth's longtime work in town. So if you want to play the Handel, I'm sure people would love
to hear it. Let me do that. I'm with Chris Lidva, who has conceived of this Love Is Volume 4 concert, brought all these pieces and wonderful performers together. Accessing the concert is easy at the click of a button at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. That's this coming Sunday. Pieces recorded by members of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival, some in person and some brought together through the magic of editing by bringing all the parts together as one. Again, that's at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And let's hear a little bit of this Handel from Solomon. Thank you. we just heard a piano duet transcription of that familiar music, The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba in Solomon by George Friedrich Handel. And if you didn't hear the introduction, the choral director here, Chris Ludva, who leads the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus, welcomed the chance to add Pierre and Sophie van der Vesthuizen to the Love Is concert, and you can see that performance at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Chris, I find that one of your, you know, biggest strengths is connecting people and ideas, and you've always had a very open attitude to your choral concerts, especially this one. It brings together so many genres. I mean, you're talking about some, you know, kind of traditional choral pieces that might be the bedrock of some concerts, but the stretch here is pretty wide.
Yeah, one might call it disparate, but then I think when you, hopefully after you've experienced it, you walk away saying, wow, maybe not that disparate after all. So there are these interesting through lines and connections and threads. The next piece actually is a great example of that. This one is called Hands Are Knockin', and it's by a composer named Kyle Pedersen. And it was commissioned for the opening of an international school in Oman, in Muscat, Oman. And because the primary language of Oman is Arabic, so the composer chose to set it in both Arabic and English. And it starts off with the intoning of a call to prayer, Islamic call to prayer, and then features a soloist of ours, Grace Geen. And the text is really, it's basically, you know, please open our minds, open our hearts, open our hands to one another. And the composer was really moved when he was at the opening and added a note to the composition that they had a blessing of the hands ceremony. And he was really struck by how our hands can both be connective and can also be destructive depending on how we use them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a beautiful piece. It's very catchy and fun and goes back and forth between Arabic and English. And the text that you'll hear quite often is this Abdulillah, which if you think about it, Abdulillah sounds an awful lot like Alleluia.
Mm.
Abdulillah, Alleluia. And so that is the text of this next piece called Hands Are Knockin'.
The concert can be accessed at 4 o'clock. The Kalamazoo Bach Festival is hosting this concert and presenting this concert, rather, kalamazoobachfestival.org. How did you learn of this piece? Is this a...
Google stalking. Just, yeah, I don't know. It's so bizarre how things crop up in your searches of various things. And, you know, I've been really keen on trying to find composers of color that are doing non-idiomatic work. So often we find that black composers or arrangers are often, you know, who we go to for spirituals, which makes perfect sense. But there are all these amazing living composers out there that are also writing things that are not idiomatic and that I think we need to be honoring. So I don't believe that Pedersen is actually a person of color, but all that to say that, you know, in the scope of an entire season of Bach Festival, what we're striving for is to represent as many different viewpoints, as many different sexes and orientations and cultures and race as we possibly can. So this was another example of how to do that in this piece.
What are some of the ways forward? I mean, things are still kind of closed down, but we do see the hope on the horizon here with the vaccines and COVID getting suppressed as much as possible. So I'm sure you and your executive director are, you know, contemplating how to get back together to rehearse. Should we plan a concert in person at this point? I mean,
we've been debating this a lot.
I'm sure.
In fact, we were really debating this spring whether or not by June we could do something
outdoors.
For an audience.
Sure.
Choral music is not always super conducive, especially when it is an orchestra, to being outdoors because the forces just don't even up well without the acoustic of a really nice room to perform in. Much better when it's a cappella, but We are in awe, in recognition, I guess, of the fact that it's been such a year. Our plan is to do something in June as part of Bach Festival. And right now we're kind of talking about toying with the idea of a foray requiem. And we would do that. And the way that we would do this is not necessarily to offer it in a live performance, but to have a live recording session. Start with that. So start with the people, the performers, and safely put them together, record the piece, and then sort of the next step, I guess, would be to move outdoors in concerts, which I think will probably happen by fall of next year. We have a concert in September, a Sam Cooke tribute with a guest artist going to come and do that down in Bronson Park. So I think, you know, we're just sort of everybody's, as I said to my wife, you know, when the pandemic started, nobody knew what to do because we've never been through a pandemic in our lifetime, and at least here in the States, right? And as we're coming out of the pandemic, nobody knows how to come out of a pandemic either. So everything is a continued experiment, and I think a couple steps forward, probably a step back, and just a cautious reentry so that we do it safely and intentionally.
Mm-hmm. This is something you and so many others are wrestling with at the moment, and the safety is probably the number one issue, like how to keep your singer safe, instrumentalist safe, and the crowd safe. And outdoors looks like a promising solution.
Yes. Well, we hope.
Especially for June. This concert is online, but it does bring together the singers in a few performances that were recorded at First Presbyterian downtown, a very large space there, as well as performances that came together in the editing room where each individual recorded their part. And was it you in front of that screen?
That's me. Like so many of us choral conductors, we've, we've expanded our horizons.
Skill set rather extremely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as much fun for any of us. And it's very isolating and can be challenging. But at the same time, the result, having gone through it, is I think our ears get better as conductors. And I think our singers are better for it. I think Kim Dunn Adams mentioned this as well, that our singers are better for the experience of having been really accountable on their parts. And so I think post-pandemic, I do think that, if anything, because of the hunger of the audience to be together again and the experiences that the singers have had in training during this time, I think all of us will actually be stronger and better as a result. So.
Well, let's pick another piece that shows this range of works you brought together.
Let's see. Why don't you? Do you have hands or knocking over there?
I do not, unfortunately.
Okay. That's why every time I mentioned that and did the setup, you beautifully changed the topic.
Exactly.
Do you have connected?
You caught me. I do not. I have.
Oh, for heaven's sake! Sorry,
I've got the Road Home, O Mio Bambino.
Oh, let's do Road Home. That's a great one.
All right.
So this is a Stephen Paulus, was another commission. It comes from the 1835 Southern Harmony book that he set. It's all based on a pentatonic scale, which is a very universal scale, and is all about belonging and finding rest and finding peace. This performance is by Voces 8.
Tell me where is the road I can call my home, that I left my
That was really lovely, Chris. The Road Home.
Yeah.
You said Stephen Paulus. Is he another American composer?
He is. He is, yeah. He wrote a piece about 4 years before that one called The Pilgrim's Hymn, which has also seen quite a bit of play from various choirs, but has a really nice, accessible writing style. Text is very, very forward in those, and so it's very easy for people to, I think, identify with them. And anytime you bring something in from Southern Harmony or one of these books upon which so many traditional tunes have been sung, it's also, I think there's a degree of familiarity as a result of that. So, yeah.
The Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus is a group of both community members and singers attending Kalamazoo College. Has that town and gown combination been important?
I think it's one of the greatest strengths of the organization that Kalamazoo College adopted Kalamazoo Bach Festival and provides us a place to rehearse, and that our offices are on the campus and that students can easily and readily participate. So we've seen a lot of great collaborations between the two organizations. They've done the same thing, of course, with K. Phil and with Tom's band. And so it's just a great example of the college being rooted in this community in a way. And I think the challenge for us as an organization, Bach Festival, as well as for the college and probably most colleges, is to figure out ways to make sure that the repertoire that we're doing is broad enough to the point of this concert that we are both appealing to our base of supporters that are so deeply in love with Bach and Handel and all these great choral masters, but also that we're finding ways to remain relevant to the larger community, that, you know, those of us that are in the college community or working in various other industries around town are not always we're not always in touch with the entire body of people that makes up Kalamazoo. And so we keep exploring ways to try to reach out and try different types of repertoire and engage different singers and board members in ways that make us a better representation of the community as a whole.
One of your innovations in recent years was beer choir.
Oh, boy, do I miss beer choir. I just have to sit and sing and drink alone now at home. And I can't wait for that to come back. It'll be hard to clink glasses from 6 feet away, but that was a really fantastic way to get people connected to it.
And, yeah, a way to demystify, singing, and just saying, hey, it's okay to get together in public and have a song.
Yeah. I mean, music is supposed to be, I think, in most cultures that are non-Western, is supposed to be something that is connected that way and that is participatory in this fourth wall thing for those of us that are used to working on a stage is so important to break down and to really invite people to make music as participants and not just as observers.
Just to play devil's advocate a bit, some of those choral pieces, those that we are considered top 10 kind of choral works, the masses and the passions and these works of Bach in particular, they don't actually get performed that often because they're difficult and hard to bring together. So isn't it still very important to live a life and at least have seen a performance of St. Luke's
of live?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think that is the great challenge for all of us, and kind of the gauntlet has been laid down as society's interests and passions shift, that those of us that are stalwart organizations that have been in town for, in our case, nearly 75 years next year, and that are still finding ways to, bring that live music. And in our case, it's trying to figure out ways to make that music that Bach wrote still feel relevant to a new society. Mm-hmm. So, I think I mentioned a while back this project that I've been doing on sabbatical where I've reset Bach's cantata Wacket auf to the words of Black authors and activists as really a call to those of us in the community to say, how is it that we are working to be, as I said earlier, better humans and finding ways to break down barriers? And so that is going to premiere in a couple of weeks. And hopefully Bach Festival will perform it next year.
Excellent. My guest is Chris Ludva, who is the artistic director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival and leads the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus, which, as I said, is a community and university, or college rather, ensemble based at Kalamazoo College. Tickets to this Sunday's performance, which is an online virtual event, can be found at kalamazoobachfestival.org. And the presentation starts at 4 o'clock. Do you happen to know if there will be a chat section and sort of a...
Oh, yeah. We love that. That was really fun at Holiday. And I think that is... It's that's interesting because you don't really get... You get that chance in the lobby...
Right, but you have, after to, keep, a live you have concert, to stay but, quiet.
Right. You know, it's just... The, yeah, and it's so fun to hear people reacting to something as they're hearing it. That was great, or good job, Mom, or, you know, that kind of stuff. It just really makes it a connective experience. Again, more participatory and less... you know, observer.
What's next? What should we hear?
Let's do If You'd Love Me. Thomas Tallis served under four different monarchs in England, including Henry VIII and Edward VI. And Edward VI was the one that said to him specifically, I need you to make sure that the music is intelligible. That so there's a simplicity to If You'd Love Me, Renaissance, counterpoint and whatnot in it, and it just a beautiful, beautiful setting of this biblical text of if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will essentially take care of you.
Music of Thomas Tallis, you said. Mm-hmm. This goes back 500 years or so.
Yeah, I would say 1500s.
Yeah. Wonderful. We'll be back with Chris Ludva of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus. The concert is at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Lovely piece by Thomas Tallis, Chris. And sorry for the delay, folks. Again, being one's own engineer is like having no engineer at all. But this is live radio. You're tuned to 89.9 Classical WMUK. And it is my whole point in life to inform my listeners about events they can participate in, a way to have a musical life in Kalamazoo, which... As we both know, we're very fortunate to have a lot of options. This is a musical community, and people do participate on all kinds of levels. And you're still hoping to break down the fourth wall, or the ways to get the formality out of it and the connection back.
Yeah, I think it's... I like to say, okay, lose the formality, but keep the dignity. You know, so I think it's for those that worry that it's going to be something that's not that doesn't have the sense of concert hall experience that I think many of us cherish. But it doesn't have to feel stuffy. And the best conductors over the years. If you think back to Leonard Bernstein and the Young People's Concerts, you know, we're at the helm of one of the great orchestras in the world, and yet had a way of connecting with people and breaking down this music and saying, no, this music was for everybody. It is us who have relegated it to one part of society. And I think if we can find ways to honor other types of music, other genres, other years, other styles, et cetera, the more that we do that, the more people will feel like, wow, somebody hears me, here's my music, here's my culture. And that is the way to diplomacy, I guess, as far as I'm concerned. So,
wonderful sentiments to end our conversation on. We are near the end of our time together. So let me remind listeners that the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus will be in concert virtually on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Details are at kalamazoobachfestival.org. We're going to end with a piece called Connected, Chris.
This says it all. It's a fun, jazzy tune and a great composer from Vancouver.
Let's hear it. And thanks again.
Thank you.
That's what I said. I am, you are me. Don't you see? I am, you are me. That's what I said. I am, you are me. Don't you see? I am, you are me. That's what I said. I am, you are me. Don't you see?
Seems like I'm all over here,
you are
and
me.
You're over there.
That's what